broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for... Wow, it's already April 29th in the year of our Lord, 2024. This is our one of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution of the United States of America as our guide, and as you know, we reject revolution, unless it's Jesus' revolution, then we're in. Actually, the checks and balances are brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, and one of the great peaceful solutions we still have at our fingertips. The doctor's in the house. Dr. Scott Bradley's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Good morning to all, and I'm hoping everyone has a wonderful week ahead of them. So maybe we'll have some good news this week. What do you think, Sam?
We're going to pray for it, work towards it, and hopefully we can even make good news by the American people's hard work. That's for sure. I have a little bit of good news, which we'll get into later in the broadcast today. First, I don't know what you want to call it. Story up on the docket today, ladies and gentlemen. George Washington University law professor John Turley argued over the weekend that the Supreme Court needs to strike a very delicate balance when ruling on whether presidents have, quote, full immunity, absolute immunity from prosecution. Now, basically, the bottom line is you need to strike a balance on presidential immunity. A little more on the story and then to Dr. Scott Bradley for a constitutional breakdown on this thing. Turley made the remarks during interview with Shannon Bream, I guess, on Fox. I don't watch Shannon Bream, so I don't really know, but there you have it. There's a slippery slope on both sides, he says. But he was surprised about the justices on the left who weren't concerned at all about how extreme the argument would be to have, what, no immunity or absolute immunity. Okay? There are things that you can't criminalize that the president does. Well, then the debate becomes, and this, here's how they play the game. They don't stick with constitutional language. They make up their own language so they can create their own crafted terms. So what they're going to say is, but what about official acts of the president? You know, under an official act, he can do anything he wants to. I submit to you that they're playing games with language. They're lying to you. I agree that, you know what, when they're involved in, quote, official acts, you know, there's a difference than their own personal actions and beliefs and, you know, when they're obeying and when their actions are squared with the supreme law, it's different than when they're not. I mean, I get all that. I get the nuanced issues. The problem is if we're not very careful, they're playing games and the pendulum could swing from court to court and from president to president if we're not very careful. Yeah, what are acts that are part of a, quote, an official function or not? That's how they're playing the game, doctor. What do you think of Jonathan Turley's comments? What do you think of the whole discussion? This is getting dangerous fast.
Well, Turley is an attorney, and they have pretty high level of pride in their priestcraft that they run. Their own cult called attorneys. They really do believe they're pretty top of the stack. So his arrogance shouldn't surprise us. But if you go back to the Constitution and you look at how things are there, well, first let me address this official act thing. Is it an official act of the president to send Tomahawk missiles into Syria, hundreds of them, or at least 100 of them, as Trump did in a response?
It's an official act in my view, but it's criminal in my view as well.
That's the exact point. The authority to wage war, to enter war, is found constitutionally in Article 1, Section 8, Clause 11, where Congress holds that authority. There is
and
no
that
authority.
That means the president did it when they never got authority. It would be a criminal act, sir.
Okay, well, the 69th Federalist Paper is an expose about that, if you will, and how what the president is. He's the first admiral or general, basically, as Hamilton explained it. He's not the guy that that does the war or makes the decision or crosses the Rubicon or whatever you want to call it. But see, what happened, we have these stupid, idiotic, unconstitutional congressional enactments that say this is an authorization for military force, okay? And none of those have any bearing on the Constitution. So here we have a president that sent in 100 Tomahawk missiles onto Syria unconstitutionally. He would claim it was an official act of his office based upon being the commander-in-chief.
And I would claim it may be an official act, but it's a war. It turns him into a war criminal as he violates the United States and all international laws, if you want to believe in international laws.
The commander-in-chief launched missiles in an unconstitutional act. Okay, so the problem becomes people think there are official acts. People think that an official act is putting out an executive order where they ban bump stocks or pistol braces or reloading your handgun or whatever. I mean, any kind of thing. The president has not got a creative power to create law, which they claim they have, based upon, and it's, you say, oh, well, it's a regulation or it's a policy.
In other words, what you're saying is the official act isn't literally official, it's criminal. And I agree. The only reason I call it an official act is because we act accordingly. We send and spend money and we all kinds of things based on those, quote, official acts. I don't believe they're official acts if they're criminal at all, if you want to talk constitutionally. So I say it's an official act because they let it hold weight as if it is. But the truth is it's not at all. In fact, it's acting criminally, personally, and it's a war crime, not only in the United States, but internationally.
So we are so far adrift now on this thing that things that are criminal acts are being called official acts and shouldn't be. But there is a process constitutionally to handle this. And again, you're going to find attorneys all over the spectrum on this. Get their constitution out. Read Article 1, Section 2. The last clause in it says the House of Representatives shall...
Yeah, now let me stop you really quick to kind of insert this for people's knowledge. Dr. Bradley's looking to the official supreme law. What most of these attorneys are doing when they get it all nuanced and they have all these different, quote, opinions on it, they're going to look at case law. Case law does not hold a candle to supreme law, ladies and gentlemen. Go ahead, sir.
Okay, first of all, let me address just a moment for that, because people today, there's a document out that is an annotated constitution, and those that want to rewrite the constitution hold that up in the, you know, the committee testifying situations that I go to where they're in a legislative session. And you know, this little hand-held pocket constitution that a lot of people carry, they'll hold that up and they'll say, your people will say this is the Constitution. It's not. And they hold up a document that's nearly 3,000 pages long. You can buy it from the Congressional Printing Office and everything. Nearly 3,000 pages long. They say this is the Constitution. Well, what has happened is that this new Constitution nuances the real Constitution using court declarations and legislative enactments. But if you'll read carefully Article 5 of the United States Constitution, court declarations and legislative enactments cannot modify the Constitution. The little pocket Constitution you carry is the existing Constitution that cannot be modified except by the Article 5 process, where it is amended. Okay, so they're holding up a 3,000-page, almost 3,000-page document. They're saying, this is what it's become by court decree and legislative enactment. No, they violated it. If the Constitution's been changed by that, it violated Article 5, and therefore you cannot say this is a legitimate anything. Okay, so we have this little pocket Constitution. It's really pretty straightforward, written for the common man and woman to be able to read and understand. But in the final clause of Article 1, Section 2, it says the House of Representatives shall choose their speaker and other officers and shall have the sole power of impeachment. Okay, so there's a process. It's a domino process that has to happen. Okay, now the Congress has to grow a backbone because they have spineless individuals there. I think slugs and snails are way ahead of them because they have a place in God's creation. But at any rate, they have the sole power of impeachment. Then let's go over to Article 1, Section 3. Okay, the Senate shall have the sole power to try all impeachments. Okay, and they can remove someone for concurrence of 2/3 of the members. Go read that again. That little clause is not that long, but I won't take up so much time reading all these things. Okay, then the next clause says in Article 1, Section 3, the final clause in Section 3.
Go ahead and skip the break. Continue, Doctor.
Judgment in cases of impeachment shall not extend further than to removal from office and disqualification to hold and enjoy any office of honor, trust, or profit under the United States. But the party, maybe we ought to convict all parties. Anyway, but this means the individual convicted shall nevertheless be liable and subject to indictment, trial, judgment, and punishment according to the law. So in my view, if someone has abandoned their constitutional oath of office and they have done something stupid like create law, or let's go back over to Article 2, where the president shall take care that the laws be faithfully executed, where the president is not carrying out the law that Congress constitutionally created to handle immigration issues, the president is liable for impeachment. Okay, so let's say the president starts a war unconstitutionally. We have an impeachment, it goes to trial, they're removed from office, and then they're able to carry out.
So let's be clear, impeachment by the House, trial by the Senate, removed from office right. by the Senate, and now open to, go ahead.
Indictment, trial, judgment, punishment according to the law. First of all, if they're removed from office, they can hold no more office ever again. And that's kind of a cool thing. But the point of the matter being that it is a process. And it's just like these people, not just like, but it's similar to these people that we constantly have screaming out, it's treason, we got to execute these guys and everything. There hasn't been any trial, there hasn't been a charge, there hasn't been a due process, and yet
there hasn't even been an impeachment in most cases. And if the impeachment happens, there's never been a trial of that impeachment per se,
like Mayorkas,
to remove from office. Until all those things happen, they're not subject to criminal trials, right?
Correct. That's
and that's the quintessential point.
The Constitution says. So here we have a sitting president. A president that had the slightest understanding of their constitutional authority. They ought to read Article 2 before they actually go run for office. And they recognized that the party agenda is not constitutional. And so what happens constantly is we're trying to get people into office that will wheedle their way into our hearts and get that agenda carried out. And so they do it at every level. I mean, you do it at a legislative level. You get somebody that, oh, yeah, these guys are pro-abortion or anti-abortion or whatever. Let's go with constitutional. Then let's follow the process. They do it in the judicial process where the president tries to get his agenda to be fostered in the Supreme Court because they say the Supreme Court is the Constitution. It's a living constitutional convention, which is a falsehood again.
Lies.
Doesn't follow. Okay, then here's the other deal, though. The people that try and carry out an agenda, let's just take Mayorkas was impeached. Impeachment by the House, which they have the sole power to do, is a set of indictments. They bring charges. It's kind of like you're going to go to court and the prosecuting attorney is going to handle things. They bring an indictment, and then it goes to the Senate, and they try that case.
Now, let me stop you there for a second, just for clarity on the local level so people understand. And this is why, you know, they want sheriffs to just start arresting everyone everywhere as well. How come there's not a gutsy sheriff that can just start arresting people, they claim? Because the sheriff is to investigate, bring together a full indictment, and bring it to the other branch of government. There's a check and balance in all cases relating to these proceedings to make sure that no one gets too much power. Nobody can just ramrod something through. It's designed on purpose to slow down and make sure that enough people are aboard that it's actually a rightful action, right?
Well, it's not just having them on board. It's having justification that's based upon legal facts. Now, I'll give you an example. Let's just go back to the COVID con. I mean, it was a complete con run by COVID cowards without any scientific anything behind it. But look, we won't need to debate or discuss or expand on that. But what we did in our local area was we went to sheriffs. Well, we have a sheriff in our county. We have different police chiefs based upon the municipality that's involved. and you say, okay, what are you going to do about this mask mandate? Okay, these demands that children that will not wear a mask in school could be fined. In our state, it was absolutely draconian what our governor did. He declared $1,000 fines and 6 months in jail if a child would not wear a mask, or a student, or a teacher, or whatever. And by the way, the legislature let them get away with it, because our constitution in Utah specifically says that no different branch of our government, even in an emergency, can usurp what's rightfully the other. So the governor cannot be a legislator, even though the spineless legislature went along with it. But the governor makes these laws, quote unquote. Okay, so in questioning the police officers, you know, the police chiefs and the sheriffs, what are you guys going to do? Well, if the laws, we're going to force the law. Well, what is the law? What is the law? Okay, that needs to be the question. Give me the article, section, and clause, if you will, that's in code in the state or in your county or in your municipality that says, I'm going to write this on the ticket. You broke section 1-5-7. What are you going to put on the ticket? Well, it's not there. There is not a law. And that's what it really came down to. The police chief says, or the sheriff said, well, we're going to enforce the law. Okay, tell me what the law is. Well, you're supposed to wear a mask. Okay, tell me where that is in code. Well, it's not there. So can you write a ticket for something that's not in code? No, we can't. We will enforce the law. See, you've got to kind of deconstruct this. And the sheriff can't just run around willy-nilly and say, oh, I'm going to arrest you. I'm going to arrest this guy. You say, why? Why am I arrested? And they've got to have some kind of...
And they knew this when they arrested people, too, and they played games. They used terms, vague terms, like trespassing in public places and things.
Sure.
To try to hold people and make things stick when they had no other way to do it. And they knew that it was a ruse. They knew that it was a dishonest lie. And that's where, in my opinion, even all the way down to the local level, they had to pick sides. And in most cases, sadly, they picked tyranny. Because there's processes put in place based on the supreme law of the land, and those processes were absolutely violated repeatedly. And then they used all kinds of dishonest manipulations to hold people, to try to create accountability. And the truth is, you know what? Most of them should have been impeached, should have been removed, should have been tried, should have been prosecuted to the full extent of the law. None of those things happened. Because the American people aren't caught up enough on the processes to hold people to account for the processes. Most folks just went, oh, goodness, if the governor says that, by golly, that's what we have to do. Or, you know, whatever. We need to understand there are checks and balances vertically and horizontally in our system. And those checks and balances are designed to make sure that, hey, not only are people doing what's right, but they're not taking power into themselves, that they're truly obeying the rule of law, that they're respecting rights, that, you know, all these processes must be followed. And in America, the problem is the lack of knowledge allowed the processes to break down or be violated. And because of that, then we have nothing but trouble on our hands. We've got to go back to the processes the founders put in place with the checks and balances and all the different details. Think about the president. He has enough immunity in the sense that, hey, the House must look at what he does and decide if it's worthy of putting together the indictments. The Senate must look at what the House put together and say, is this legitimate? If so, let's, you know, convict and remove. And then beyond that, hey, now we can look at these different issues in terms of true trials. There's a lot of immunity built into the system. It's not just a question of do they have immunity or don't they? And do they have immunity under official acts or not? See, now what we're doing is we're jettisoning the process and making up our own rules to try to play games outside of the supreme law, aren't we, Doctor?
Well, you know, back in 1971, and I know you were pretty young at that time, Sam, but there was a kind of a cult movie came out called Billy Jack. Tom Loughlin directed it, and he was in it. He starred in it and all that kind of stuff. You know what? People ought to see it once in their life anyway, but there's a classic line in there. There's the townspeople and the sheriff are there. They're going to do an unlawful act, and Billy Jack shows up, and he's going to stand him down. Billy Jack's he's a former Green Beret, and part Native American and all that kind of stuff. Okay, so anyway, somebody hollers out of the mob that's there, "Billy, we got the law with us." And Billy Jack says, "When the police break the law, there is no law." And he levers it around into his 30-30. Okay, so anyway, that's a classic line. By the way, Tom Lachlan was very much responsible for getting the 1968 Gun Control Act. There were him and five other big screen people that helped get that 1968 Gun Control Act passed. And so just because the law, I mean, Billy Jack says that in a movie, doesn't mean he was a soundly founded guy. But the fact of the matter is, that's a truth. If the law is breaking the law, or the police break the law, there is no law. And so we need honorable people that hold those positions. I mean, if your sheriff doesn't understand this, go meet with your sheriff. And honestly, I've had a number of meetings with our sheriff and found him to be a reasonable kind of guy. I mean, he always hides behind the law. I mean, he does. He will always say, "Well, I'm going to enforce the law." Okay, so what's the law? Quote me chapter and verse. I mean, to help me understand where you stand on this issue. And you're right, people had to take sides. And most of the time, as you point out, they rolled over to the establishment view, which was, again, not scientifically sound and was not backed
by any
authority.
The unconstitutional establishment view, I might clarify.
That's correct. Okay, so what most officers did, now I'll go back to, I mean, I'm all over the place, of course, Sam. In Tanzania, the guy that was leading the country ended up being assassinated by the world leaders, and he was not going to go along with any of the COVID Bravo Sierra. They put a woman in there at the head of the country, and she became a COVID coward, rabid enforcer. And she's all to the mat about the masks and everything like that. The police officers said, "We're not going to wear the mask." They took them off. The people in the community said, "Well, if they're not wearing them, we're not wearing them." And Tanzania had the lowest death per capita of any nation in the world. I mean, we had, we were the worst in the world by 45%, worse than anybody else. Iran was the second worst. Tanzania was the absolute safest place in the world to not get COVID. And they completely ignored it, except in the airport. I'll take that back, because the COVID coward leader had a pretty iron grip on the airport. But the general population said, "Well, the police aren't wearing them, we're not." And what needs to happen is the police need to realize they are us, we are them. I mean, anything they do, they're doing to their own children and grandchildren.
Yeah, you're right about that.
There needs to be backbones.
Here's what
there.
Should happen in these cases against Donald Trump, in my opinion. They all need to be dropped. Not because I think that Donald Trump is completely, legitimate, but because I don't believe that these going straight to the Supreme Court and circumventing the process set up by the founders relating to Congress. If things occurred when he was president, then we need to decide if we want to impeach. They've already impeached Donald twice. The problem is that the Senate took no action. Therefore, it's DOA. End of story. If we believe that it's worthy of taking action, then the Senate must take action on the impeachments handed over from the House and decide, look, we're going to try this thing and convict if justifiable. If you say, well, wait, they tried and convicted, fine. Then are they going to remove him from office? There's this process. And all these court cases about Donald are aimed to circumvent all this, Doctor, and set up, in my opinion, a parallel betrayal is what I would call it.
Well, and absolutely, this is lawfare, as we call it oftentimes. It's warfare against them for the political purpose. The bimbo eruptions and everything else are all that same thing. That's what Hillary used to call them. Anyway, we got to take a hard break, it sounds like.
Yeah, we'll do it, and we'll come right back. Dr. Bradley will continue to break it down. Then I got another bombshell to lay out that he can respond to in mere seconds. Has to do with your right to privacy, ladies and gentlemen. Is it absolutely gone? It's because of these parallel processes set up where we circumvent the vertical and horizontal checks and balances. Hang tight.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Ryan Daniels. Donald Trump says he'll debate President Biden anywhere, anytime, any place. Trump, in a social media post, suggested the two debate at an upcoming rally in Michigan outside the courthouse in New York this weekend.
I've invited Biden to debate. He can do it anytime he wants, including tonight.
Trump's challenge comes after President Biden said in an interview with radio host Howard Stern that he would be willing to debate Trump. Secretary of State Antony Blinken meeting with Arab leaders in Saudi Arabia amid the ongoing war in Gaza. An Israeli foreign ministry official says Blinken will then visit Israel Tuesday as talks continue for a potential ceasefire and hostage release deal. Officials in Oklahoma say at least four people are dead after a weekend tornado outbreak. Two were killed when a large twister hit the small town of Holdenville, about 60 miles southeast of Oklahoma City. Governor Kevin Stitt toured several hard-hit communities Sunday, calling the devastation unbelievable. He also declared a state of emergency for a dozen counties Sunday, with reports of more than 30 tornadoes hitting the state. There were still heavy rains, damaging winds, and possible tornadoes forecast in Louisiana Monday. New Biden administration pollution regulations will make it more expensive for energy companies to keep burning coal. Jen Gelber has more.
The climate rule will require power companies to cut carbon dioxide emissions from coal power plants by 90% if they intend to operate past 2039. The EPA also issued separate regulations governing coal plants' hazardous air pollution, wastewater, and toxic ash waste.
President Biden is praising a new labor agreement between the United Auto Workers and Daimler. The UAW and the German truck manufacturer came to an agreement Saturday that avoided a strike of 7,000 workers at a North Carolina plant and some southern distribution centers. This is USA News.
Greece is cheap,
but the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer, and again, airfare.
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this? Low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia?
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airline travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at cspoa.org. That's cspoa.org.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
So, you know, what we're doing is we're mixing apples and oranges or whatever you want to call it. There's so many things that there's so much mud being thrown against the wall against Donald Trump that that some people are saying presidential immunity is involved in all of them, and it's not. Trump would be claiming, I fear, that he had presidential immunity in 1992. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how far back he wants to go. But there are some actions that happened before he became president. Some actions happened after he became president. And they're mixing and matching. And they really don't mix in the same pot and come together very good. Right now, well, 6 months ago, something like that, I think it was the Washington Post came out and says there's 88 charges against Trump. In four different cases, there's 44 federal charges, 44 state charges, blah, 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 blah. And they're trying to put them all in the same pot and stir them up, and it's really a bunch of Bravo Sierra to do it that way. It's lawfare trying to derail his candidacy. But the point of the matter is that each one of them is different. Let's take the bimbo eruptions that that's what Hillary Clinton used to call them when they happened all the time with Bill. I mean, we got this Karen McDougal that what did they call her, a playmate or something like that. Anyway, what a demeaning, these things, women should say, are you kidding me? We are being categorized. Anyway, that's another discussion, I guess. But so she claims there was this affair with Donald Trump, and Stormy Daniels claims the same thing. There was supposedly some payments to keep everything hushed up and all that kind of stuff. And those are different. They happened before Trump became president. And they
in other words, one
whatsoever.
Discussion is president of the United States. The other one is citizen. And that's why we
Correct.
Have to have different processes, because citizens and the president of the United States have different processes in place per the supreme law, right?
And then, I mean, there's a lot of muddy water on these bimbo eruptions. Because, you know, there's people claiming that it violates federal election laws, which I don't have any idea how many thousands of times, maybe every year, people pay off somebody to say, keep quiet about our affair, and you can walk away with money, I walk away with my reputation, whatever. But the fact of the matter is, it's a real strain to put it against election law when a guy took it out of a business account to pay off something else through an attorney. It's really a strain, and that's a case we don't have time to try this morning. But these other things that, for example, the one he was convicted on and needed $500 million to put up as basically some extortion money in New York, virtually all of those were, if they existed, were misdemeanors that happened when he was applying for loans. There was no banks said, hey, we will never do business again with Donald Trump. Everybody made money. Nobody complained. And
everybody said we were made whole.
Yeah.
No
victim. On top of that, they want to do business with him in the future, but they were, at best, misdemeanors before, and they've turned them into felonies, and the reason they did that was so there wouldn't be a statute of limitations. If something happened XYZ years ago and it's a misdemeanor, they say, you know what, it's beyond where we can do anything about it. But if they make it a felony, then there's not an expiration date. So anyway, all of these things are being manipulated for political reasons, but the big thing we started off talking today is about a presidential immunity thing. And virtually none of them are related to presidential immunity. I mean, whether it's the bimbo eruptions or whether it's how they applied for loans. And now if president did something while he was president that might be questionable, then we go through the process. The process when he was president has to be followed before we can jump into these other arenas of criminal charges, if they occurred when he was president. Before or after, we can talk about
and what they've done.
The
what
fits.
They've done is hyper, you know, divided on this, where you're either 100% supportive of Trump, he has complete immunity no matter what, and you back, or you're against Trump 100%, and that's the dishonest Hegelian dialectic here. My response isn't to attack or to defend Trump. My response is to teach the constitutional process when he was president, and then separate those acts when he wasn't president to have, let them take the regular course of actions. If somebody wants to sue Trump for a redress of grievance for wrongs done, by all means, let those cases stand on their own. But let's not mix the two and play games. If I was the Supreme Court justice, what I would simply say is this. You have no business being at the Supreme Court. Acts that are not presidential in nature can go on their own track in the courts per normal. Presidential questions must go through the Congress. Congress already impeached twice, and the Senate's done nothing with it. So, hey, we're going to point to the supreme law of the land for guidance on what Congress should do if they have an issue with this. And otherwise, we're going to let the courts proceed as they may on non-presidential, in other words, citizen-type cases. Or presidential cases must go through this route. And I would basically point clarity to the people, to all the, quote, lower courts. And I would lay this, if I was the Supreme Court justice, that's what I would say, doctor. What do you think?
Well, you made an earlier statement that I agree with. I kind of took it wrong to begin with when you said they should not be at the Supreme Court, which you were taking it to say these things should not even be appealed at the Supreme Court.
That's correct.
I was, yeah, so once I understood that, I say, okay, fine. But I took it another way to begin with, and it was kind of a more aggressive approach that most of the people that are sitting on the bench in the Supreme Court now shouldn't be sitting there anyway.
Well, that's
true,
too.
They can't even define a woman, for crying out loud. And it's like, can you define a woman? No, we can't do that. The follow-up question should have been, are you a woman? I mean, these buffoons that do these kinds of things, I mean, we let them get away with. And then, of course, I hate to even go, maybe this is a segue into your next story, but the FISA court appointees made by Judge Roberts without constitutional authority.
And the FISA court's all criminal and should be shut down also.
Well, all of the judges that sit there were appointed by Judge Roberts, and there was no presidential appointment, no congressional approval of it. He just said, hey, guy, you're in it for
Without authority, I might add. There's no provision anywhere in the section in the supreme law of the land where the courts are defined where you can just create your own weird sub-court and appoint your people to it, right?
Well, Congress in Article 1, Section 8 creates these sub-courts, but there's a process you go through that's defined constitutionally with appointment process and approval process. There's checks and balances. But to just give it, you know, create in 1978 the FISA court and then saying, okay, the Supreme Court Chief Justice gets to put these judges in place, and I think they're a 7-year term, if I recall correctly. I think there's 11 judges. And you know what? It's a secret court. There's no check or balance. The Fourth Amendment is just gutted now with both the FISA 702 being reauthorized and with the Patriot Act out there and some of these National Defense Authorization Acts and stuff that have been passed time and time again since 2001, we have just gutted. The Fourth Amendment just doesn't exist. I mean, for all intents and purposes, we should start reemphasizing that and start regaining what traction we've lost there because of these unconstitutional criminal acts by both Congress and the court system. And the executive carries them out. It's bizarre. Anyway, I don't know, Sam. Maybe this Trump thing, we've thrashed it. People should understand that it's a lot muddier water, and they're muddying it up constantly.
It's muddy because people don't know the truth, though, and that's why I'm not attacking Trump, and I'm not defending Trump. I'm merely talking about, look, when he's president, there's a process via Congress, impeachment, conviction, removal from office, then if necessary, trials. There is already immunity in that process, which normally a citizen just goes, hey, we're going to do due process and probable cause and trial. And all that is preempted by this immunity, this extra protection that Congress can provide to the president if justified. If Congress decides it's not justified and they impeach and they convict and they remove, then the trial process starts. They're mixing this up to where the American people don't know which way to look up or look down or whatever else. Some people are going, let's go to war. The process doesn't work. Well, you're wrong. The process works. They've just circumvented it. And we, the people, have allowed them to circumvent it. And that is the quintessential problem. Now, things that he's done that are outside of being president, let's have the courts deal with them. If they're misdemeanors, you can't graduate them to felonies in the courts or in some other opinion or idea. Okay. And so you say, well, they violate, federal election law. And my response to that is 90% of that federal election law is unconstitutional as well. And so we just go right on down the list where we're so far, as you point out, Doctor, from the Constitution that it's hard for people to find their way back. And that's the real reason for this discussion is I want people to understand this isn't a we're friends or we're hateful of Donald Trump. This is a here's how the process works. Let's follow the process. When we do, it's grand. When we don't, it's disaster. I mean, to me, that's the quintessential point, Doctor.
When the police break the law, there is no law. And that's kind of where we are right now in America.
Amen to that. Go ahead and skip the break. Go ahead, Doctor. Sorry.
Well, yeah, with all the criminal acts by those that are currently sitting in office, just because you got elected under Soros' money to get to be a district attorney doesn't mean you can make your own law. It's like our local police agencies that we talked to during the COVID con. Tell me what you're going to write on the ticket. And yeah, you're right. Most of the time they tried to circumvent it by saying, well, you're trespassing. The hell you say? I'm trespassing in a public school? I mean, come on. My kid is enrolled in this school. I mean, come on.
Yeah, either nobody's allowed to enter or everybody's allowed to enter. You can't just single out people and call it trespass on a whim. On what grounds is it trespass? Oh, we came and harassed you and you wouldn't leave, so now you're, you know. Okay, they're just backing into this where you're, you know, if you violate the law, everybody can be breakers of the law because who decides what the law is, right?
Here's the problem. They try to bring it about, oh, you're resisting arrest or you're not obeying a lawful order. Let's do the lawful order thing for a minute. I've been down the road. I've made multiple presentations to military organizations in regards to the requirement to obey lawful orders, but the complete legality of disobeying unlawful orders. Okay. And now, of course, the oath of office or the oath of enlistment that I took 55 years ago is different now. I mean, they've been wheedled that around too. But the fact of the matter is, there's a lot of military commanders that are absolutely determined that whatever they say is a legal, lawful order. Far too many police are in that realm today, that anything they do is a legal, lawful order. And if you don't obey it, then you can arrest you for not following the direction of the
Yeah, they're drunk with power is the problem.
They are. And a big part of that problem needs to be addressed too. And again, I'm all over the chart with this thing. But this idea
You are
of
because there's so many principles and so many things that the founders taught and that were clear back in the day that have been lost and perverted and manipulated to where people don't know which way to look. And that's the reason that I bring this up, ladies and gentlemen. Have you seen Billy Jack, the 1971 film? Yeah, it's an American action drama film, and it's the second of four films related to that very topic. But anyway, I wanted to mention that. If you didn't see it, that's the details of it. Look it up, check it out, and you can watch Billy Jack. Now, Jim Jordan and others are asking the question, are we China now? Representative Jordan highlights potential, and this is the interesting thing, potential collusion to investigate MAGA supporters. The story's in the Western Journal. It's a great article. What happened to my right to privacy is the question on everybody's mind. But Joe Biden has secretly brought China's social credit score system to the USA in a stealth effort to eliminate the free speech rights and gun rights of conservatives. And they say Jim Jordan is seriously incensed about it. He's mad about it. He's furious over our, you know, freedoms in this regard. And my response is to Jim Jordan, you always play games, okay? I'm concerned about this. And before we get into the details of this, you know, issue about how China works and how they're bringing this credit score system to the United States, I want to highlight this. Listen carefully. Jordan highlights, quote, potential collusion. Well, wait a minute. It's either collusion or it's not. It's not potential, Jim, okay? You need to investigate and get to the bottom of it. And if it is collusion, you need to call it collusion. And if it's not, then you need to let it go. What they do is they use these words to always have Jim Jordan standing for your rights, supposedly, and he's incensed, he's furious, he's angry, to appease the one side. Whereas the other side always, you know, it's always potential. So see, you can't charge potential collusion. That means, well, we're looking into it. We think there might be probable cause for collusion, but it's potential in the sense that there's evidence here, but not enough to prosecute her. We haven't got all our ducks in a row for prosecution. This is the way they always, you know, they always bring it right to the line to make everybody incensed, but never enough to create actionable prosecutions. And that's the first problem that I'm seeing with this, Doctor.
Well, talk is cheap. You know, and when all is said and done, more is said than done. That's kind of the arena we're in right now. And I agree with you. We have a lot of stirring, but not a lot of cooking going on. And I'm very frustrated with it also. But this idea of collusion and this idea of social credit scores and everything, it's interesting how different states are approaching this. Utah seems to be on the bleeding edge of this thing. We're doing facial recognition things and dossiers and sharing of information that should be kept private. Like, you know, you go through government agencies and they, you know, they say that, oh, we've got a group that looks at this. Yeah, they look at it. They make sure they're offending up to the very degree they possibly can your privacy. And Utah is probably one of the leading states in how they do this, where they share driver license information and things like that for all sorts of matters. And the facial recognition stuff they've authorized. And it's just appalling to me. We're moving to this direction of, you know, you talk about the credit scores in China and how if you don't have a socially acceptable position, let's say you're not for diversity, equity, and inclusion, well, you're just not going to have an ability to get a bank loan or maybe to expand your business or maybe you might be found to be maybe in violation of an affirmative action equal opportunity process. Maybe you won't even be able to talk on the radio. I don't know. I don't know where this is going, but that's where it is in China. And they do score you based upon how well you conform to their establishment viewpoint. And the United States is moving that direction. Whether Biden's doing it this second or not, I don't know. And Jim Jordan needs to investigate it, and we need to get to the bottom of it. But I'm very concerned that seems to be the foregone conclusion of where we're going to end up, and that's a bad place. Free societies don't keep dossiers on their citizens. They just don't. That's Gestapo, that's Stasi, that's KGB. I mean, those secret police kinds of things, they keep the dossiers. We are capable now with the this thing in Draper, Utah, that they basically keep track of every text message and email and every originating phone call and everything like that. They've got this huge crunching capability to be able to put together a matrix of everything that happens in your life.
Yeah, and you're right about that.
It's
the Chinese-based system that's used, this social credit score system, is a way to keep the citizens in line. It grades them individually for how well they keep the party's aggressive rules as the communists. All right, they're bringing that to America. And so this system gives Chinese scores that allows them to access restaurants and banks and everything else. The more you behave, the higher your score. The less you behave, and it can fluctuate. Okay, a social score can move up and down just like a credit score based on your behavior, how compliant you are. The system also elicits the participation of others to rate you. So it's a spy on each other system. Combined with a rules system set up in the communist world of China, it's based on the communist rules. You violate the Communist Party rules and you're in trouble. You keep those rules or obey those rules. Now, if you're kind of obstinate, they can ratchet you down, not let you have banking, not let you have entertainment, not let you travel. And if you, you know, obey the rules, then you get back more of your life. These scores are also set up so that people can report companies too. It's the companies get scores, not just individuals. That way they control companies. Either that company has access in the global marketplace or it doesn't, or they have the ability to, you know, so a lot of the conservatives and gun dealers, I mean, they lost their right to charge credit cards. Okay, well, this is what we're talking about. This system is live and well in America, naturally corresponding with the bank scores. The system rewards people for doing what the government wants them to do. And they can control every move you make this way. They're rating companies and individuals. Now, you think it's coming to a theater near you. It's already here. There's already been, over the last several years, a lot of people kicked out, shadow banned, shut down by the, quote, private sector, the new media companies, the social media companies. But they're really in bed with the government doing the same thing. Banks are doing it. It goes on and on to the point where this is disaster. Now, I appreciate Jim Jordan being incensed about it, but Jim just says, oh, we have potential collusion. Well, as long as you leave that in the potential stage, no actions can be taken against these clowns. So when you wonder why we can't get to the bottom of this or why we can't do something to solve this, it's all based on how Jim Jordan and those guys are calling it potential. Well, Congress has been just as guilty of abusing us on this as the president. So I appreciate Jim Jordan digging into it and him releasing facts and information. But as long as he calls it potential collusion, he's almost playing a role in making sure that it doesn't go criminal where we can prosecute, doctor.
Well,
it's almost like admit to it and then bury it up, or release enough information to let people know about what happened, but not enough to prosecute. And it's almost like it's intentional.
Well, Congress, yeah, it is intentional. But if it happens in politics,
the reason I say almost intentional is I don't know if Jim Jordan is intentionally doing this or if he's trying to do right. I don't know where that lies. But no doubt this credit score and this abuse is being imported from the communists. And it's not coming. It's already here, doctor. And it's already being applied against people like me and you.
Well, absolutely. I mean, Congress needs to clean up their act before they maybe look at somebody else's, the beam in their eye versus the moat. But absolutely, Congress has control of this. Congress passed the USA Patriot Act. If I understand correctly, only one member of Congress read it before it was passed. Only one, back in 2001. I read it personally. And we've talked about this before. I have testified against it before the Senate Judiciary Committee. It is an abominable act that destroys the Fourth Amendment virtually. It's gone, as we said before. So the Congress created that Patriot Act, and it was on the shelf before 9/11, 2001 happened. They had it ready, and those colluders, if you will, in Congress helped ramrod it through by huge margins. And so that is set up a thing. Oh, I'll just give you an example. After that was put into place, we had a fire at our house. One of my daughters was cooking in the kitchen and started the kitchen on fire. She got distracted by one of her kids. And so, we had an insurance thing, and the deposit and the insurance money was larger than my normal deposits by a substantial amount. I got interrogated by the bank management, because the bank is required to report anomalies in banking, okay? So that kind of stuff happened to me, okay? I had a reasonable excuse. My house tried to burn down, and we got an insurance settlement. Okay, so, but that's just one example. The banks are required to do this. The telecommunications people are required to report to this NSA thing, this group that crunches all the numbers, all of the metadata on that. We do things like let's just take my being banned from YouTube. We were not towing the line according to the establishment viewpoint. We didn't speak in hushed and awed tones about the COVID cowardice and the jab and the unscientific approach and all this kind of stuff. We were blatant and in their face. YouTube banned me. That was in collusion, I believe. And how would I prove it? Well, I'd have to go to court. I don't have the money to do that. But I believe it was in response to what the establishment wanted. And it was government-directed under both Trump and Biden. So all of these kinds of things are currently in effect. I've personally been affected by them. I know where their quote-unquote authority is coming from. Congress was the one that created it. It's bad all the way around. And Congress needs to clean up their act.
There you have it. We're flat out of time. I wish we had more because this is so valuable. But I really wanted to break down some of these processes for people from a constitutional point of view so you understand. You know what? Joe Biden should be impeached on bringing these communist scores, these social credit scores, to America. But look, Congress is all aboard for it. Governments all up and down the line are doing it. And it's not thought about coming to America, or it might come to America. It's already here in big, big, bold, abusive, hostile, communist ways. And we the people better wise up and stop it by our greater numbers. And we better do it peacefully. The supreme law of the land is the way back, folks. For Dr. Scott Bradley, freedomsrisingsun.com, and yours truly, we declare, we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can save America. We need God to save the Republic.